Every day, AFA offers biblical insight on issues that others aren't willing to touch in the hopes that you'll become a world changer. That's why we're offering an in-depth worldview training course called Activate. 13 different professors teaching 18 sessions, all available online, including a printed workbook to help you apply what you've learned and one-year access to AFA streaming content to give you even more resources. Find out more about Activate and sign up today at activate.afa.net.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. It's a live radio show for the next hour and a half, and we thank you for listening to AFR each day. And today happens to be Wednesday, July the 31st, 2024. There is no July 32nd, ladies and gentlemen. So tomorrow we enter into the month of August. Good morning, Ed Vitagliano.
Good morning. This is a live program, and sometimes, folks, it's livid. It's live and livid.
Live and livid. And think about a live radio program. You better be careful what you say.
Yes.
Because you know what I'm saying?
It can.
And
it,
we're careful, yes. You and I.
Yeah. Absolutely. A whole lot of thinking before we speak, right?
Wesley Wildman. Good morning, Wesley.
Wesley Wildman shaking his head.
Right, shaking his head because you
know. But it is good that there's four of us because we'll get, you know, you can introduce our next guest.
Right, because, I mean, out of the four of us, surely somebody's going to say something intelligent.
Yeah. Well, and we do kind of
or stop someone from not saying something.
Yes. Right. Yes. We head each other off. Sometimes
right,
I'll start and Tim will say, you're on your own on this one. I know where this one's going.
Fred Jackson, good morning, Brother Fred.
I just listened to you guys.
You do a good job.
Just soak in the wisdom, do you, Fred?
He says, I stick to news stories.
Right.
I'll let you soften up the gravy.
I'll give you the facts. I'll let you comment on them.
So, if we all strike out, we got Abraham Hamilton III.
That's right.
He's at the bottom
of
the hour.
Yes. Batting cleanup.
Right. He's batting he's batting fifth.
Fifth, yeah.
He's batting fifth. Abe will be on with us. Abe is a constitutional attorney. He's also the host of the program each afternoon, the Hamilton Corner, from 5 to 6 o'clock Central Time here on American Family Radio. And we like to have Abe on at least every week or two to talk about something in the news relative to the law. But today we're going to discuss with him some of the testimony yesterday that happened on Capitol Hill that was wild. And that was between senators, Josh Hawley namely. Wesley, you watched this, right? And the Secret Service Director, the acting Secret Service Director.
And Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
Both of them, both Ted Cruz and Josh
Hawley.
What's
the fellow's name?
Ronald Rowe.
Okay.
Hey, before we get started on something serious, I do want to make just two real quick announcements, okay? First of all, I want to wish a happy birthday to my son.
Amen. Yep.
Tony.
Who turns 35.
You do anything else? You do anything for him besides just saying happy birthday?
No, we're going to, I wrote on his cards. There's cash in it, of course.
Okay, well, I mean that.
And we're taking dinner over
good
there tonight.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you.
So, but I also wanted, Tim, just a kind of a day of mourning around here because the popcorn machine.
What?
The popcorn machine died.
Yes.
Have you not seen down there?
It's gone belly up.
Oh.
Why are you guys talking on live radio? Why couldn't you wait to the break?
I thought you knew. Now, there is
no, I haven't
popcorn.
Been down the hall.
There is some popcorn that they had made this morning. But
it's not the same.
It's gone belly up.
I hate taking the popcorn machine's last popcorn. That seems kind of morbid.
No, you mean they...
You mean it died? It really did?
Yes, it did.
It's gone.
It is. Now, here's the thing. We do have engineers here, and a couple of them, two or three of them are down there working on it. So I don't
know. Time to recesses?
I think they may revive it. I don't know. But I told them when I walked by
Fred says, no, there's no coming back.
It's gone forever. The wiring on this thing is like 4 centuries old.
I told him, I said, guys, do not burn this building down over this popcorn machine.
Yeah.
You know how
they're
long
steadily
it takes
working
to
on it.
Season a good popcorn machine? It
yes.
takes forever to season a good popcorn machine.
Now, I will also say this, okay? Now, Bo Hefner.
I'm a little shook up right now, I'll be telling you.
I thought you knew.
No, I didn't.
I thought you'd already been down there getting coffee or something. I'm sorry. This is throwing you. But I also want to say Bo Hefner, who oversees our grounds here, he's one of the guys down there, was formerly in our engineering department. But he teaches. He's a youth minister. I think he teaches his youth at church.
Right, right.
And he showed me, he said, I'm going to use the grease catcher in this machine as a illustration for a sermon because it's below everything and catches all the grease.
Yeah.
And he says, this is your soul when you engage in consistent sin. Because guys, let me tell you, don't look at it, Tim, if you go down there.
That's right.
Because you may never eat popcorn again.
Yeah, you may worry about your future health issues.
Oh, man.
It is disgusting.
Really?
Y'all didn't.
Well, drips down in there.
Yesterday was my first day to indulge in the popcorn on live radio. Y'all didn't know this because I hit it the best I could, the listening audience.
Yeah, I didn't know it.
But I that was my first time to try what Dad's been doing, and I was hooked. And the day I was hooked,
it
now
dies.
But we have a button over here you can silence your microphone.
Oh, yeah.
So I mean,
you're chewing.
You don't always often. Use it, Tim, but
but it's there.
Duly noted. But I try.
Yeah. But so anyway, I'm sorry. I thought you knew this. I didn't mean to be the bearer of bad news.
Okay. We'll get a new popcorn machine, but
but being seasoned like it was, right. It's gonna be a minute. It takes some time.
It's like a iron skillet.
That's a good analogy.
Who gave the popcorn machine their last rites?
The engineers down there are trying to revive it. But I'm with Fred.
Fred says it's gone.
As my dad said, it's a goner.
No, Bo, who you've mentioned, was looking at the wiring and the plug on this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been around.
Like mid-century.
It belongs in an antique museum.
All right, well, I'll cope. I'll find a way. Fred, first news story is what?
Well, now, Israel has not taken responsibility, but it is strongly believed that Israel was involved last night, early this morning, in the assassination of a Hamas leader, Ismail Haniyeh. Ismail Haniyeh, he's a Hamas leader, has not lived in Gaza for a number of years. He's been living in luxury in Qatar. He went to Tehran, Iran, to help in the celebration, a swearing-in ceremony of some Iranian official, and he died by assassination. It is, like I say, strongly believed that Israel was involved with this, although Israel at this point has not confessed to anything. This follows the death of a Hezbollah leader in the last 24 or 36 hours. You may have heard of the explosion in an apartment building in Beirut. That followed a Hezbollah attack in the Golden Heights that killed 12 kids on a soccer field. So if Israel was involved, and we do strongly believe Israel was involved in this, there's much to be said about the fact that they're willing to do this amidst strong international pressure, including pressure from the Biden administration and Vice President Kamala Harris, that they should work towards a ceasefire, because this guy who was assassinated in Tehran in the last 24 hours was involved with the ceasefire negotiations. I think Israel, and we're assuming they were very much involved with this, is sending a message to the world, Prime Minister Netanyahu, that they are serious. They are out to wipe out Hamas. And international pressure for a so-called ceasefire is not going to stop them. I heard an interview this morning with a retired brigadier general, Anthony Tata. Actually, he was Undersecretary of Defense in the Trump administration. And this was his reaction to this, cut number 7.
You got Hezbollah in the north that's been hit. You have Hamas in the south that's been hit. And Hamas was really, Haniyeh was killed in Tehran. And, that's kind of a hat trick for Israel to strike in the heart of Tehran. If indeed it was them, I think it's a safe conclusion it was. And so the saber rattling that we're hearing from Iran, in my point of view, is a little bit empty. Remember the last time when Iran threw hundreds of missiles at Israel. Israel struck back. They didn't even know what happened. So Iran has to think long and hard before they do something against Israel, because Israel can literally dismantle that country, their oil fields, their energy infrastructure, their ports, their navy.
I think what he's saying, Israel is a small country, but Israel is a very capable country, as they have now shown for many years.
Yeah, it's probably the most capable military in that region by far. Now, Iran is no pushover in terms of, you know, if somebody decided to try to invade, like if the United States did, they're no pushover. But in terms of technology, Israel has a pretty large gap in a lot of areas. And it really is extraordinary. This was right in Tehran. I mean, basically Israel saying, anywhere you hide.
You can run, but you can't hide.
In the Middle East, we can find you.
Yes.
And we can take you out.
Yes.
And that's a lesson I think everybody has learned.
Just to review, you have a Hamas leader.
Yes.
The leader or one of the main?
He is one of their generals. Okay.
He is from Gaza.
From Gaza, but okay. Living in Qatar.
Living in Qatar, and as happens so often, the people leading the terrorist activities are hidden somewhere, enjoying life, as you say, a luxurious type of lifestyle in Qatar.
Yes.
But taking all the money is what I'm talking about. But this guy traveled to Iran. Iran funnels money to Hamas and Hezbollah to attack Israel.
Yes.
The world knows this. This is gutsy, to say the least, to go in. Did they use were the Israeli CIA version of the CIA?
Mossad.
Were they on the ground in Tehran and they did this? I mean, well, no, they're not claiming credit for it yet, but I mean, is this like a Tom Cruise movie type thing here?
That is the speculation.
Nobody knows.
Yes.
But nobody even knows at this point what type of weapon took this guy out, because it was called a rocket, but it had to be some sort of guided projectile.
But was it a rocket flown from Israel into Iran, or was it something local?
Nobody knows that right now.
I think the exactness of this would lead one to believe that it was likely somebody on the ground. But the intelligence in this, they had to know this guy was traveling from Qatar to Iran. Where he was going to be, he wasn't at the ceremony. He was at an apartment at that moment.
The ceremony was concluded.
Yes.
Yeah, you're not safe. Israel will find you.
Yes.
And you know what? We've mentioned this before. Israel is now the proverbial wounded bear in a corner.
Right.
Is that a proverb?
Well, it's doubling up, and I think it's accurate.
Yes.
Okay.
Because wounded is
wounded
one thing,
animal, whatever you want to say. Well. You know how you have a wounded animal like a bear or whatever like that, and they are going to strike out and they're going to fight to the last. You know what I'm
right.
saying?
That's right.
And then you're fighting to the death at that.
And then you corner them.
Right.
And then here we are.
Yes.
They can't run.
There's nowhere for them to go.
Nowhere to go. Yeah. So Israel's not going to back down. Despite a lot of world condemnation, and they have put Hamas and Iran and Hezbollah and others on notice here. If you are part of attacking our country, mm-hmm. Israel, we will find you and kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Wes. You want to say something?
Well, I had a question. Do we have an update on this along these topics? Do we have an update on how many hostages are remaining? Trying to find a number. The latest I got is up to May. The date's back to May 18th, but I bet we've got a more recent. As of May 18th, there were still 33 hostages.
We don't have an updated number from May. And we have to caution people when we say there's a number from that initial list.
Right.
We don't know how many of those are alive.
Yes.
Who may still...
The 33, as of May 18th, 33 of them had received some form of life. They were able to, and it came from missing families form in Israel.
Yeah. So, form of what now?
Some whether it was a video or whether it was an audio, they were
still alive.
There was 33. Yeah. Did that make sense?
Yeah.
The 33 of the hostages are still alive.
As of May 18th, but I mean that was a few months ago. So,
Has the U.S. spoken? Has the Biden administration?
Hold on. The reason I mentioned that is because that would be one more reason for Hamas to say, "Okay, here's your hot." If they want any of this to stop, they need to begin doing the very minimum, which is I think it's too late now, but you get the idea.
Hamas, you're saying Hamas should release the hostages now if they want any chance of a ceasefire.
Yeah. But that's not going to happen.
Right.
But I think this assassination this morning is another signal from Israel, even to the United States, because we know Netanyahu, during his visit last week to the United States, was chastised by President Biden, was chastised by Vice President Kamala Harris and Kamala Harris in particular said, "You, Netanyahu, have got to bring this ceasefire deal into being.
Right.
It's your responsibility.
It's your
Hamas.
It's your responsibility.
Not Hamas."
So we're seeing Netanyahu's response to that in the assassination of this Hamas leader. And I think what Netanyahu is saying, listen, we are going to stick to our plan. Hamas must be eliminated. And now Hezbollah is involved, and he has said Hezbollah is much more well-armed than Hamas. And he is saying to Hezbollah, we're not going to put up with your nonsense either in the north.
No, Israel's saying, if we have to do this in the face of the world, we will defend ourselves and we will protect ourselves and we will take out our enemies.
Well, over the weekend, the president of Turkey, Recep Erdogan, said, hey, we might attack Israel with troops. Mm-hmm. So the tension in the Middle East is escalating rapidly. And so what Hamas initially did, remember we talked about why they did this on their own? Mm-hmm. And the thinking, generally speaking, was Hamas obviously couldn't destroy Israel on its own, but it was trying to trigger maybe a number of other Muslim nations to join the attack and wipe Israel out. Mm-hmm. And when that did not seem to materialize.
You mean post-October 7th?
Post-October 7th, in the immediate aftermath of the attack. And then when that did not materialize, I started to think, well, maybe Hamas booted it. Okay, that they thought maybe other Muslim nations would join in a more wide.
I do think that's probably what they were thinking.
But it's looking like the longer play here may get them to the same place anyway. I mean, if Iran retaliates, Turkey, I'm not saying they're going to do it, but that could start a wider war in the Middle East.
I think they're scared of Israel. The whole Arab world is scared of Israel's power and what they can do.
Yeah.
And that's the only reason they're not
why they haven't.
They're not joining in.
Yeah.
Because
of nukes.
Huh?
That
being one big reason,
yeah.
But I think we said before the surrounding countries there are not
Yes, and I do think I understand the current presidential administration is not obviously helpful in this situation, but historically speaking, America does, a lot of the American people do support Israel too.
Yeah.
So that does factor in, I do believe, other people joining in as well.
So so other countries would question if we attack. Are we going to be fighting America?
America too. Yeah. I do think that enters some.
I think that enters into it.
Got an administration that also supports it, but it would help
if the current administration, which they're not going to do it,
right?
But Trump would. They would say, "Listen, if this turns into a wider war, we're entering and we're going to defend Israel."
Yeah, and even the current administration, in the event that it did get that bad, I do think the American people would speak up.
Yeah,
and force the current administration's hand to do something.
Yeah. Next story, Fred.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Ed mentioned about Iran perhaps retaliating for this, but I think Iran would be measured in its response because Iran knows that Israel could take out their nuclear capabilities.
Yeah, and like who was we played this clip
Yes, General Anthony Tata.
Yeah, I mean, the fact is Israel does have the capability of bringing Iran to its knees.
Yes.
In a more wide-ranging attack.
Yes.
So
next story, Fred.
All right.
Unless our guys want to solve the Middle East here.
No.
See, we can do it in an hour and a half.
I think we know the only one who can solve that problem.
Okay.
I think a lot of our listeners, and I think on our program here, we have played this montage of Vice President Kamala Harris over the last couple of years, saying where she stands on a variety of issues. The border, buying back guns, et cetera, et cetera. But I want you to replay this montage of where she has stood on the issues over the last couple of years. And that'll be cut number two.
There's no question I'm in favor of banning frack. There's no question that we've got to critically reexamine ICE and its role and the way that it is being administered.
You support the Medicare for All bill, I think, initially co-sponsored by Senator Bernie Sanders. You're also a co-sponsor on it. I believe it will totally eliminate private insurance.
Let's eliminate all of that. Let's move on.
Do you believe in the mandatory buyback of quote-unquote assault weapons?
Great question. I do believe that we need to do buyback.
All right. So those are her positions. In her own words, all right? Well, today in the New York Times, the Harris campaign, not Harris herself, says she no longer supports a ban on fracking, no longer supports abolishing immigration and customs enforcement, no longer supports mandatory gun buybacks, and no longer supports banning private health insurance. All right? Now, when asked to comment on the, and I'm reading from an Examiner story here, on this flurry of flip-flops, Harris campaign spokesman, are you ready for this? Brian Fallon said, quote, her years spent in law enforcement and her record in the Biden administration defy Trump's attempts to define her through lies. So now her campaign is saying, oh no, but we have her on tape. We have her on tape. A spokesman for the Trump campaign, Caroline Sunshine. Yes, that's her name, Caroline Sunshine.
Isn't a song?
Yeah.
That's Sweet Caroline.
Yeah.
Caroline. Close.
Yeah. She's full of sunshine. Okay. Here's cut number three, Caroline Sunshine.
Well, she is dangerously liberal, and she has a liberal mainstream media, the same liberal mainstream media that told the American people for years that Joe Biden was fine, he's sharp as a tack, nothing to worry about. That same liberal mainstream media now trying to rewrite Kamala Harris's record. But as we see, the more voters find out about her, the more those poll numbers continue to sink.
Well, and what she's saying here is that the New York Times is cooperating with the Harris campaign in trying to rewrite the whole narrative of where Kamala Harris stands on those important issues. The question is, do the American people think that that her stands on things, that she's actually had that stand the whole time, or that they're going to believe that she's not a flip-flopper?
Well, I think Governor Ron DeSantis had the right take on, this was even before the attempts this week to rewrite her positions on everything. Over the weekend, he tweeted or X'd out that his expectation is, and I think this is exactly right, get ready for whatever we have, 100 days of gaslighting.
Yes.
We have, what is
it's less than 100 now.
Okay, so 90 in the 90s. The time we have between now and November 5th, get ready for so much gaslighting that the Democratic Party is basically going to present to the American people a fake candidate.
Mm-hmm.
It is not going to be the real Kamala
Harris.
Why
would they do that? Aren't they proud of their secular progressive ideology? They're pushing it all the time.
They are proud of it, and they know that it's too liberal for the majority of the American people. They will institute it when they get Kamala Harris into the White House. But for now, they're going to hide it.
Which is what Biden and others did a good job at.
Well, I was shocked. She said, get rid of private health insurance. Isn't that what she said?
That's what she said.
Yes.
Now, listen,
this is the only way she even had. She's not. I don't think she'll win, but this is the only way that the poll numbers begin to favor her any is if she does this.
Socialized medicine has been the golden calf. of the secular progressive movement for a long time. Right. I don't know why she would say.
Well, she's changing roles. That's what she believed in, but now she's running for president of the United States of America, and that you can't win on that.
And the vast majority of people like their access.
That's right.
To the health insurance.
Where does she stand on deceased popcorn machines? I want to. I want to know the answer.
She's against it. A recent study reports that the rapidly declining global birth rate will lead to a major population crisis if birth rates continue to decline. Their massive support for Planned Parenthood is all part of their plan. While we may feel hopeless in the constant attack on life, there is an amazing way to fight back. When they shout abortion, we shout life. Preborn is leading the way. Every day, their network rescues 200 babies. You see, when a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life doubles. The ultrasound is the secret weapon that joins a mother's heart to her child. Preborn provides ultrasounds for clinics in the highest abortion areas. Can we join hands nationwide for life? One ultrasound is just $28, but any gift will help. $5,000 will underwrite ultrasounds for the entire network for a day. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano, Wesley Wildman, and Fred Jackson. We are in the studio here in Tupelo, MS. And we thank you again for listening wherever you may be tuned in to AFR. Well, joining us now in studio is our colleague and our brother, Abraham Hamilton III, who's general counsel for us here at AFA and host of the Hamilton Corner each afternoon, weekday afternoons, 5 to 6. Good morning.
Good morning.
5 to 6 Central Time. Fred, you ready?
Yep.
Ready to go? By the way, I did get some popcorn during the break, the popcorn machine, but it's over.
It is.
I think that was its
we
last.
We confirmed that. That's been confirmed.
Yeah, it was its last giving of itself.
but that was still, that did, it was a comeback though, because that was better when he said there's still popcorn. I thought he meant they just popped it out of a bag.
They had made popcorn initially, and then the thing went kaput.
Okay, well, that's still better, but it's still done.
Yeah, so, I don't want to talk about it right now. I want to move on.
So, what's the plan, though? Are they going to buy a whole new thing?
They're going to buy another one. Another machine. Popcorn machine will be
coming
our way.
Won't be the same, though, will it, Tim? Won't be the same.
It won't be the same. Well, life changes.
It does.
You have to deal with it.
Totally.
There's a proverb
world,
there too.
First world problem, however.
Yeah. All right. So, switching topics altogether. We're going to talk to Brother Abe. By the way, how are you doing, Abe? Having a good summer?
Yeah, I am. Busy.
How's the family?
The children are great. Maria's great. My wife is great. Dealing with some things. Other members of my family, but by God's grace, we're doing well.
You're five?
Six.
Six little Hamiltons?
Six little Hamiltons.
Six little Hamiltons.
That's like a nursery rhyme, isn't it?
Six little Hamiltons. Doing my duty to try to help.
That's right.
Eric on you are, Aaron, brother. You are. Good for you. Yeah, you're above the national average.
I like five kids now.
Yes.
Slackers like Wesley.
Only three.
Good thing about Christian conservatives is we're on pace to outnumber them.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
In the next few years, because the secular left, they're not having any kids.
Nope.
because, you know, the climate's going to burn us all up.
Yeah.
So no point.
So we have,
well,
we have more.
Started. They're also very selfish. All right. More that's kids. All I'm going
to
say.
Well, and that's also why there's such an intense effort to, how shall I say this, access the minds and hearts of the young ones. Because if you cannot bear fruit, you must recruit.
Yep, that's exactly right. Yep.
Okay, so yesterday on Capitol Hill, there was a hearing involving the Secret Service, the acting Secret Service director, and some United States senators, including Josh Hawley of Missouri and Ted Cruz of Texas. And Fred, do you want to tell us what the subject matter was?
Well, it's been over 2 weeks since the attempted assassination of former President Trump. There have been a House hearing with regards to the Secret Service, what it did and what it didn't do on that day. Want to remind people, Trump has been very much in praise of the Secret Service people who gathered around him to protect his life. But the big questions are, how in the world did this shooter, Crooks, get set on a roof within 150 yards of where the stage where Trump was giving his speech? How did he get there and nobody saw it? The discussion being that it was an obvious that somebody should have been guarding that area, should have been protecting the president from that area, and they weren't. So there was a House hearing on this last week. Yesterday, there was a Senate hearing on this. The acting Secret Service director, Ronald Rowe, was in the hot seat because his boss, Kimberly Cheadle, finally quit last week because she was being pummeled for not taking responsibility for all of this. And so yesterday there were some heated exchanges, particularly between Senator Josh Hawley, Republican Senator Josh Hawley, and Mr. Rowe. I have a number of cuts here, but let's go with cut number five right now.
Sir, this could have been our Texas school book depository.
So you're telling me that the person who made the decision not to include this in the perimeter has not been relieved of duty? What about the person who is in charge of the interoperability of radio frequencies between local law enforcement and Secret Service? Has that person been relieved of duty?
No, Senator, because interoperability is a challenge, is a greater challenge than just one person. On that day, we had a counterpart system. It failed.
As the person who decided, who made the decision to send Donald Trump onto stage knowing that you had a security situation, has that person been relieved of duty?
No, sir, they haven't.
Has the person who decided not to pull the former president off of stage when you knew that, in your words, the locals were working a serious security situation, has that person been relieved of duty?
No, sir. Again, I refer you back to my original answer that we are investigating this through a mission assurance. And as opposed to zeroing in on one,
what more do you need to investigate to know
exactly what the decision-making process
was? What more do you need to investigate to know that there were critical enough failures that some individuals ought to be held accountable?
That was Senator Josh Hawley in a verbal exchange with the acting director,
Ronald Rowe.
Ronald Rowe of the Secret Service. Abe, what do you think about that?
I think several things. Listening to Fred say we're 2 weeks away from an assassination.
16 days, I think.
That's just.
Or isn't that right? Something like that.
That's, yeah. I mean, it's still just chilling to think about. But to have this scenario where it's obvious it's a known failure, yet Ronald Rowe is saying, yes, but we need to conduct this type of assessment to determine whether or not it's appropriate to terminate somebody. I mean, you kind of have one job,
right?
You know. You got to have one job. Keep the person you're supposed to be protecting from getting shot.
It seems to me, too, in addition to what you're saying, Abe, that for jobs, for a task that is as important as protecting current political figures or a former president who is running for re-election, okay, There should be a blueprint for the Secret Service. Here are the protocols. This is what you do always. This is what you do. This is how you interact with local law enforcement. This is how you establish a perimeter. This is what you do if someone's inside that perimeter with a rangefinder. This is what you do if there's a building and it seems to me that the questions are fairly easy to answer. Either those protocols were followed or they weren't. And I don't know what they're spending the last 17 days doing. I know there may be a lot of things to check out. We're checking out Thomas Matthew Crooks's phone records.
But you check them out while the people that were responsible on site are relieved of duty.
Yes. Listen, around here.
At least suspended.
Yes. Until we get to the bottom of it.
Yeah. Around any business, any agency, any operation has protocols. And if those aren't followed, someone is held responsible. And Kimberly Cheadle, who was the director, it took a long time for her to step down. And she should have been one of the first people to start answer these questions about what those protocols were.
Yep. I got a question for Abe. So, and another clip that
you
we
watched
had,
this whole hearing, didn't you, Wesley?
Yes. I watched Josh Hawley's whole portion, and I watched Ted Cruz's whole portion as they questioned the acting director, Ronald Rowe. And one of the clips that we have, they conclude that we know the person's name who was on charge on site. And I know, Josh Hawley says, I know it and you know it. After he asked him, director Ronald Rowe said, I know it, but I'm not going to tell you. What would be the reason for that from a legal standpoint? Is there a legal reason?
Yeah, based on Ronald Rowe's response, and I think you're going to play the clip, it seems he's trying to say, well, he's still actively involved or
do we have
the person is still actively involved in other operations. And so we don't want to compromise these other operations while he's facing scrutiny and reprisal based on the failure
there. Let's
hear
that clip.
I'm not sure we have that particular clip.
Go
ahead, Wesley.
So, but is there any legal reason that he couldn't? You know what I mean? Like a gag, like no. Okay.
Not,
you see what I'm
legal.
Saying?
No, it only would be to protect him from operational compromise that he's
but
currently.
But he's not, okay.
But that underscores the problem. Yeah. Why is he on other operations?
Yes.
Yeah,
having failed
sure.
the previous one so badly. I mean, we have evidence now to say this dude flew drones over the site. He's preparing almost contemporaneous to the Secret Service, you know.
And this goes back to my other earlier point. If you have protocols in place, and this guy, whoever he is, he's unnamed right now, who is in charge on the ground, if he is currently in charge of other protection details,
that's a problem.
Then you say, okay, that's fine. You're on paid leave, and then your assistant can step in because guess what? There are protocols. Everybody knows what they're supposed to do. So you take the top guy out. You have assistants who can carry on. I don't understand.
This sounds like a tip. You know what this sounds like? This sounds like the old stereotype that everybody jokes about. You can't fire government employees.
Well, to your point, if you listen to both exchanges with Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley, what you conclude from the acting director is, look, there's a lot of people involved here. We can't fire them all. That's what I got from his response multiple times.
Oh, really?
That's what I got. He said, we can't rush a judgment. And then Josh Hawley comes back and goes, rushing? It's been 18 days and nobody's fired. Like, so.
Well, yeah,
there were multiple times where he said, well, there's moving parts, there's a lot of people, there's a chain of things. That was his constant response to give me one person that we got to hold accountable. So if you spread it out so much that everybody has a role here and it's going to take forever to figure out, it's like passing the blame around.
Well, there's another thing that came to light yesterday is that Ronald Rowe kept saying the responsibility for that building where Mr. Crooks took the shot from was local police.
Right.
We had delegated that to local police. Well, Fox has a reporter still there on the scene of the shooting. She was talking to a representative of the local police.
Correct.
Who says, we were never told that we had responsibility for that building. So someone is being less than truthful.
Didn't they also
so kind,
say
the local, so kind, Fred? Someone is being less than truthful.
Didn't someone in the local police who was talking to the Fox reporter say, listen, they never contacted us, period.
Had no communications with the Secret Service on the ground.
Well, and also different frequencies. Hmm? The local police were talking on a frequency because Crooks was seen 90 minutes before he took that shot. And they
90
for an hour and a half. They were talking, locals were talking about, hey, this guy, you know, ladder. We see his vehicle here. We see him up on the roof.
Rangefinder.
But they're talking on their radios.
That's right.
Secret Service is saying, we're on a different frequency here.
Yes.
And I do want to say that's not uncommon to have the federal agents have a different frequency of communication. But what is operational failure is that there's no liaison between the two.
Right.
Right.
Yes. That's the problem.
And I mentioned this yesterday. We hosted the Maritron Life Conference in town, and with our local security, our security at AFA worked with the Tupelo Police Department security and the Sheriff's Department, and they had theirs, we had ours, and then we had one that we all used together. That's just normal. That's just
standard operating procedure.
And for the Secret Service, not to, I mean.
Well, all right, so we'll move on to the next topic, but here's the bottom line to me. And, you know, I hate for anybody to lose their job. But at the same time, the woman who was fired, what was her name?
Well, she resigned.
She resigned.
She resigned. Okay, yeah,
that
was
a difference, and it's frustrating. She should have been fired. But go ahead.
But she wasn't fired. She resigned. Okay, she's secondary to me. She's in an office in D.C. This wasn't her fault. Okay, now you may say, well, the buck stops with her. Okay, fine. But what happened on that day was not her fault. At least it hasn't been proven to me. At least primarily. Okay.
Yeah, okay. There.
At least primarily.
All right.
The person that's at fault here, who should have already been fired, is whoever was in charge of the Secret Service ground operations on that day in Pennsylvania.
Person is because they're involved in other operations.
Yes. Well, that's nuts. the fact that you can't know who that is, that, by the way, that person should have already resigned, seems to me, if they had any integrity.
There you go.
And I don't even know who it is. That Josh Hawley but I mean, this is like a coach going 0-16 in the NFL and then getting to the end of the thing going, you know. They interviewed him. He go, I don't know who our quarterback was.
Okay, well,
I don't remember.
And I understand the analogy, but it's a bit even more intense than that. An analogy, I get it completely. But you have a man who died.
Yeah.
Two other Americans who were shot. Yeah. In addition to the leading candidate to become the 47th president of the United States of America, who has been shot. I mean.
Well,
of that and what's happening in Venezuela cannot be lost. It's not lost.
Let me toss something else in. Okay, the reason Ronald Rowe and
he's the acting director
for the Secret Service, and Kimberly Cheadle, who resigned, maybe the reason they're not telling us who the person was who was in charge on the ground is that that person's not going to dive on his sword. He's going to say no. You're not going to make me the fall guy. I was told you're not going to get the resources you need because Trump's not important enough, and you're just going to have to make do with what you've got.
So they're covering for him.
So they may be covering for themselves.
Nope, still don't buy it. Nope, he still goes. You know why? If it's the scenario you just described, then you are worse than I thought.
Who's worse?
The guy you're saying who would say I'm not going to be the fall guy.
Well, if his superior, if Kimberly Cheadle or whoever his superior is, says we don't care about Trump, you're not going to get the resources you need. You just
well,
make
the second
do.
Half they did. The first half we don't know their motive, but they 100% turned down.
Listen unto me. Okay. Come unto me, all who will listen. I'm about to impart some logic into
this
thing. Just don't.
And I'm not. Hold Ed, on, I, you Bob. Know, I love you as a brother.
Yes.
I'm not criticizing.
Right.
Your personhood.
I hope you realize I'm going to defend my position.
Your office is 6 feet from mine, so we're going to have to get along.
That's right.
If the scenario, in all seriousness, if the scenario is as you said, in your possible scenario,
right.
That is this person in charge on the ground in Pennsylvania is now saying, no, you're not going to make me the fall guy because I was denied the resources I needed to defend President Trump in a outdoor setting. It's still his fault, and it's even worse because he should have said that out loud. He should have gone into President Trump and whoever's with him and said, sir, I can't guarantee your safety out there because I don't have the resources.
That's a fair point.
To be able to secure the place here. And so we're not going to be able to do the event today, or you can do it from a remote location, but you're not going to be able to go out there until if that's the case.
That is a fair point. I wasn't thinking about what you say to President Trump. I was thinking that the reason his superiors do not want to reveal his name is they don't want this guy spilling the beans
on them.
Yeah. But
well,
it
that's
is going to
happen. If that happened, that's going
to
happen.
That is a fair point. You could go into Trump's team and say, no, I can't guarantee. And in fact, we've got a person of interest that we think might be dangerous.
Yeah, you know, President. Secret that's Service true. doesn't say, doesn't have a meeting 2 hours before the event or an hour before or 10 minutes before Trump goes out there and going, all right, guys, we're 95% sure, right? You don't do that kind of thing. So somebody dropped the ball. Now, it could be as simple as human error.
Right.
In the sense that, but that's still, you got to go. Whoever was in charge on that day has got to go. Now, might put them in an office job.
Right.
You know, answering the phone.
Yeah.
You know, for salesman or something, but you can't let that go on. That's the person most responsible. Go ahead.
Well, Fred, what was the story we talked about this morning too, where the cell phone of the gunman is still being held
and it's locked up and nobody can get into it, right?
Well, and there's an encryption app. As long as this we don't have the answers or we're not willing to give the answers continues, it gives rise to these conspiracy theories.
Absolutely.
That Mr. Crooks had friends who he was contacting.
Abe, I think this is true, encrypted bank accounts? Or is that?
Who's that? Independently confirmed that. I've heard that amongst other things.
Who's the 20-year-old?
Yeah.
Yes. Crooks?
With no social media presence and...
We've all seen and read about the conspiracy theories here, and that's inevitably going to happen because there's so much mystery around.
That's the reason for it.
I mean, to think about a 20-year-old, if this is the narrative, a 20-year-old has the capacity to maneuver,
with no military background.
But maneuver in such a way to get 150 yards, within 150 yards that...
On top of a building.
Well, you have civilians. I have played on the Hamilton. Right. On the civilians saying, hey, there's a guy right here. Right.
2 minutes.
Running to him.
Minimum of 2 minutes. You know? Who got recorded.
And in light of this, the Secret Service was notified that Iran had made threats about former President Trump before this hearing, before this rally. And so it was a heightened awareness of something is going on concerning the former president.
There's a lot of unanswered questions, and the gentleman yesterday didn't help at all.
No.
So I'm looking at a Daily Mail article. Representative Michael Waltz, I'm not sure what state he represents, said he has been, this was a week after the shooting, said he's been speaking with agents as the FBI continues to probe the attack, learning the Bureau believes Thomas Crooks may have been linked to foreign accounts and amid sensational rumors of an Iranian plot. Waltz said, this is on Jesse Waters Prime Time, the shooter had 3 encrypted accounts overseas. At the same time, we're having an Iranian plot.
The only part of the conspiracy theory, let's say Iran hired this guy to try to knock off President Trump. Let's just say that happened, okay? And I know you're dealing with a 20-year-old and you know, your brains doesn't complete form until you're at least 31, probably. Right. I know you're dealing
with, how old are you, Wesley?
Dude, 35.
Okay. His brain.
It's formed.
When he's 33, wrapped up, completed. I'm just kidding. But let me just say about this. I don't think a 20-year-old would sign up to die. Somebody said, well, they paid him. What good is money if you're dead?
Yeah.
I'm not sure I buy that they paid him off to go and try. You know what I'm saying?
There's no evidence right now that he's got money from them.
Well, we just talked about encrypted bank accounts, though, right?
Yeah, but that could be for something else he was doing.
Oh,
yeah. I'm just working with them.
I'm just saying that this is what I had read in the week after. I don't know whether this is still an idea that's.
Anyway,
we're not being told anything.
I would have respected what's the gentleman's name who's the acting Secret Service guy?
Ronald Rowe.
If Ronald Rowe yesterday had said, you know what, Senator Hawley, I can't name names. I don't feel comfortable, or I've been advised or whatever, to name names in a public setting like this, but I will be glad to meet with you privately.
Yes, that would have been better.
Wouldn't that have been better?
That would have been better.
Because, listen, these representatives in Congress and in the House and in the Senate, when they're inquiring of other federal government employees, they are acting as representatives of us, the people, the public, open government. We need to know.
Yeah.
You can't do like Karine Jean-Pierre every day and say, I refer you to.
Tim, that point is maximally profound, because the ultimate accountability is not to those in D.C. They are instruments of our ability.
They're representatives of the people. And in an open republic like we have, the people have to know, how is my government operating and how is my money being spent? All these things. Now, you may not agree with it, but we have a right to know. Then we can have an informed discussion. And when we go to vote, we know who to vote for. But listen, I understand there are a lot of things that we can't know. They don't doesn't need to be discussed out in public.
Right.
CIA, a lot of things like you can't. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But
it would endanger.
But the way this gentleman answered the questions was
unacceptable.
Unacceptable.
And by the way, Mike Waltz is a Florida congressman.
Okay. All right. We'll be back in 5 minutes with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.